This is George Clooney, and you're listening to The Walking Dead Girl. I'm just kidding, it's not George Clooney. My name's Alana.
Everybody, this is Jasmine.
And I'm Michael.
And I'm The Walking Dead Girl. You're listening to The Walking Dead Girl, episode 118. In this podcast, we review and discuss the hit TV show The Walking Dead from AMC. In addition to reviewing the show, we play listener feedback, so join the conversation.
And if you want to give us feedback, send email to talkback@thewalkingdeadgirl.com. Or you can also go to our website at thewalkingdeadgirl.com/voicemail to leave a voicemail feedback, and we might send you a Walking Dead Girl t-shirt. And you can also post a comment on our Facebook page, facebook.com/thewalkingdeadgirlpodcast, as we routinely read feedback and play comments on the show.
Before we get started, I want to remind you guys that we'll be discussing every gory detail about the TV show, so obviously there will be spoilers. So make sure you've watched the current episode before listening. I liked this episode for Tara. If anybody else was doing this storyline, I would have been bored. But because Tara is such an awesome character, because she's so quirky and dorky and all of that stuff, I didn't have a problem with watching her do this stuff, and it was only on her. And it was kind of slow, but it was interesting to get this kind of side story about what's finally happening with her and what's his name?
Heath.
Yeah. And kind of seeing her and how her reaction to... not about the death of, not only the death of her girlfriend, but how she is reacting to the, what she did with the rest of the group.
At the outpost.
Yeah, and how it affects her. Because at this point, she was still reeling from the fact that they took out this outpost and she thought it was over.
Mm-hmm.
But Heath makes her face the reality and the facts that they took out this person. So they killed people who didn't do anything to them. And Heath again brought up, oh... you know, you guys only care about yourselves. You're selfish. Because remember, he was a little skeptic about Rick's group because he thought that they were just out for themselves.
Yeah, he was kind of like a Spencer, right?
Yeah.
Where he was not all on board with Rick's plan, you know?
Mm-hmm, exactly. So that's kind of how I kind of liked that kind of progression for her character. And then her interactions with those women at the village... I mean, it makes sense why they are the way they are, but the only character I really liked, and I think that was the whole point, was the Cindy girl, the younger girl, mm-hmm. who was taking care of Tara. Because like I was watching in that background video, Tara feels like Cindy is her when she was younger, or at least they share the same views about not wanting to have to make those decisions, but still understanding why, like the both sides of the coin.
Mm-hmm.
But it's just be caught in the middle of it.
Yeah, Cindy has it's a similar kind of humanity that Tara has.
Mm-hmm.
They kind of bonded, right? A little bit?
Yeah, they did. And I feel like I've seen her in something before. What was she in?
I don't know, but she's played in probably like the Disney Channel or something, some shows.
I think so.
On there.
I think so.
So, yeah, and also, I don't know if you noticed, but this episode was a little bit longer than a normal Walking Dead episode. It wasn't... kind of a full...
Oh, really?
There wasn't a full hour and a half long, like sometimes they do with commercials. It was more like an hour and 10 minutes, which was a weird time. an hour and 10 minutes,
you know,
with commercials.
Shows nowadays really don't care about how long they are.
Well, it felt longer. Because they covered a lot of things in... like, they went to the village, they went to... back to Heath, and all, like, they went... And I feel like The Walking Dead... is making a lot of money from advertising, and they're a very successful show, and the creators have the power to tell AMC, hey, you know, in order for us to really fully tell the story, we got to go another 10 minutes. And like, yeah, okay, whatever.
They don't care.
You know what I'm saying? So it's not anymore a special moment. It's like, oh, it's an hour and a half. It's a long episode bonus. No, it's like they completely told the story. And, you know, this season, it seems like pretty much every episode, they've told a singular story. They've covered, like, one group of characters in one location.
Yeah.
I think that's going to end next week. I think In the next episode, I think they're going to go back to telling multiple sides of the story. I mean, they have a tough job because they have to, in the season, they have to cover all the new groups.
Yeah, that's true.
And they have to figure out a way how to do that. And giving each group its own special time. Like, we need to understand the makeup of every group.
Mm-hmm.
So we need to spend at least a whole episode with that group. Like, you can't introduce a whole community and not spend the time there.
Exactly.
And the only way to reveal this Oceanside community was to have Tara, you know, like, float down the river or whatever.
I don't know how she survived that, but okay.
Yeah.
I like that scene, the scene where she's going off the bridge. Yeah. It had that, like, factor, like, oh my gosh, she's going. Because, like, she had that look on her face. I thought that was really good. I want to do acting like that, where I'm, like, falling off of stuff. Like, you know, Bruce Willis.
Physical stuff.
What's that Christmas movie?
Die Hard.
Yeah, you know when he's like the guy's off the building?
Yeah.
Just hanging there. It's not really related, but yeah, I thought that was funny.
Yeah, so this, my opinion on this episode was, it was okay. It wasn't amazing. It wasn't horrible. It was just okay. Obviously, there's a purpose to all of these things.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, Oceanside is going to play a role, even though at the end, Tara said, didn't reveal their location. It's going to come up. I mean, someone's going to get it out of her.
It seems like everyone's meeting these different groups so that they can bond. Yeah, Tara was the first one to bring up, oh, maybe we guys could work together, you know, and face them, which is what we're hoping that's going to happen. Yeah. In how many episodes there's left till the season finale?
Two.
The midseason? Yeah, that a lot has to happen in those two episodes for me to want to be interested in the second half of that season.
I don't think it's going to be a war, though, in this. I think I think they're going to leave it for the next season because it's too close.
I had a friend who'd messaged me saying that Jeffrey Dean Morgan, the actor that plays Negan, has been signed on for season 8, so he's going to be sticking around for a while.
Yeah. My prediction is that even though Tara didn't tell Alexandria anything about this new camp, which, by the way, it's been nicknamed by everyone Oceanside. So it's the Oceanside group. I feel that Cindy is going to run away from Oceanside and is going to end up in Alexandria. She's going to find Alexandria on her own. I don't think Tara's going to tell anyone. I think that's
Might. She might. She's such a terrible liar. It might slip out.
Well, I think there are some hints of this in this episode, because if you see at the beginning, Cindy is lying on her bed with a map. And she's looking through the map. And if you look closely, her finger's hovering over a town that's called Alexandria.
Really?
On the map. So I think she's got an idea, because I think she's trying to figure out, oh, where did Tara come from, right? And when she's looking on the map there. And if you pause it, you'll see it says Alexandria on there. So I think Cindy's going to find Alexandria on her own. She's pretty smart.
I think so, too. She was pretty defiant throughout this whole episode. And obviously she gets away with it because she's the granddaughter of the head woman there. But, so she can afford it.
But she's also pretty smart.
Yeah, she's not stupid.
Yeah, and she cares a lot about Tara, and she cares about the groups working together and stuff. So she's going to do something to find out where Tara. So I think Cindy's going to initiate the connection there.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So at the beginning we have an opening shot which shows the sun rising over the beach through the dead trees. And we see a walker on the beach trapped, but we see a little girl and they're talking, right?
Yeah. And Cindy's bringing up the fact, I guess they found a teddy bear, and she's telling the little girl, Rachel, you know, I used to have this when I was your age, but clearly she doesn't give a crap about that stuff because she goes straight into attacking a walker that's been washed up on the beach. And that alone, I know it was very small, but I could already see the generational divide between children in the apocalypse versus children who grew up before the apocalypse, because they like care Carl, about different right? things. Yeah, like Carl, especially. And, you know, Rachel is a prime example of how stuff like teddy bears don't mean anything to her when you can kill a zombie.
Yeah, she preferred to run over and stab it in the head.
He says, oh, I did in one shot. Like, you know, it's like a game. And, you know, you could tell Cindy is kind of distressed about that because she's like, don't run. Oh, my gosh. Oh, really? You don't have to be so. And then she goes over because she spots Tara. And literally Cindy saves her life. That girl was so close to just killing her. And even after she knew she was human.
Yeah, so it basically they were showing how the children are completely changed. There's no humanity, right? Mm-hmm. It's like, we have to follow the rules. We got to kill all the strangers. Like, there's no question about it. She's been indoctrinated in this new system, right?
Yeah.
And I think Cindy is worried about that. Like, she notices, she sees how the girl, Rachel, is so harsh and cold to, and doesn't care, you know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's what worries her. Because later on, I can't remember what scene, Tara's asking Cindy, have you killed anyone, right? Like, mm-hmm. do you kill the people that come in? And Cindy's like, yeah, I'm a good shot. So she has killed people, but yeah. She's not happy about it. And then she asks, has Rachel killed? And then nobody answers, right? Like, I think Cindy doesn't answer, meaning that I think Rachel hasn't killed, and Cindy wants to keep it that way to preserve her innocence.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I think Rachel hasn't crossed that line yet where she had to kill a live person.
But she's ready.
She's ready, but I think Cindy's been protecting her from that.
Yeah.
That
reality.
Yeah, harsh reality, I think. Yeah. I think Cindy's trying to protect her innocence, quote-unquote innocence, but I think it's already gone.
Whatever's left, which is not much.
Yeah.
She's not a bobber, but she's still alive.
They call them bobbers.
Yeah, she says, I want to. We're supposed to. I want to.
I want to. That was like evil, man.
I know. I like, but, you know, the same type of old world stuff still saved that girl's life, still saved Tara's life, because she said she doesn't want to snitch, but I won't help.
Mm-hmm.
Snitches get stitches.
Well, that is, it's kind of, it's disturbing, and there's a lot of contrasts there, like with this innocent little girl being so evil. It's like you see some horror movies where there's this little girl, you know, they see the ones with the long hair and like the black
eyes.
That was
weird, yeah.
And it's disturbing because normally a little girl is like innocent and symbolizes innocence. And to be evil, it's like these contrasts that really is scary. It's just scary.
Yeah, because little girls are the most innocent creatures known to man. And then you add them to be super crazy. You're like, oh, my God.
Yeah. And she had that evil look on her face. Oh, they got the perfect girl with the right look.
Her eyes, too. They're like piercing.
You notice in the intro, the title scenes, there's the, when they show Tara's name on the screen, they show the boat. I think they got it from this episode.
And it's funny. It's kind of like a joke because she made a side joke about how, oh, yeah, I was on a larder,
which she messed up. Yeah.
So they thought that was kind of like the running gag.
So let's listen to, after the credits, we see a scene of Heath and Tara talking. So let's listen to a little bit to that.
You saw how we were living back home before you guys got there. We didn't know shit. We thought...
What? What?
It doesn't matter.
What?
I get it now. If it's you or someone else, you choose you. You take what you can. You take out who you have to, and you get to keep going. Nobody's in this together, okay? Not anymore.
Hey, it only hurts because you know what you just said is total bullshit. That's not you, Heath.
Tara. That's me. That's you. And that's everybody who wants to stay alive.
It's not the truth. It's not me. It's you. It's not you. It's me. It's me. It's you. You, me, you, me.
Is this a breakup scene or... Yeah, so they've been on the road for 2 weeks and they have found nothing.
It's the most. That's like the worst scavenging group ever.
You know what happened in 2 weeks? So much crap went down, and what do they have to show for it? Nothing. They don't even come back together. Like, she doesn't have anything to give them except a freaking bobblehead.
Yeah, I think it was pretty bad. Heath was always like this, right? Even from before, he was kind of this...
I thought he had a change of heart when, you know, with Glenn and everything. Oh, he doesn't even know Glenn's gone.
I don't know if he ever will. Like, what happened to Heath?
He left apparently because she found his glasses on the side of the road and tire marks. Maybe got kidnapped by the Saviors. I think so. Because why would his glasses be gone like that? Unless he was like punched in the face and dragged away.
Yeah, the Saviors came really close and they didn't get to Oceanside, which is
scary.
A close call. Yeah. I mean, the Saviors are everywhere, so I can't see who else it would be, right?
How did our group survive this long without running into the Saviors? That's what I want to know.
Because they were somewhere else. They were at the prison and all these other places. So,
mm-hmm. And it's like, you would think, oh, all we have to do is just leave.
Well, apparently that's what the Oceanside people did. They just left.
Yeah. There's an option. Just leave.
But they were kind of lucky. They found kind of this isolated place in the woods.
I would have gone to another freaking state. Like, I would go to a whole new area.
Further away.
Yeah.
Because I don't think they're far enough, actually.
Yeah. I'm like, if someone's attacking me and they've taken out my friends and, you know, they're threatening, there's more chance of you dying staying than you dying leaving.
I like the fact that they have a good supply of fish, though, right?
That's cool, yeah. Although obviously, you could get a little sick of it, but, you know, you get creative with fish.
I mean, it's...
like sushi.
It's a great spot because of that, right? Because of the fish. What did you think Heath meant when he said, you know, when you guys first met us, we thought... And he didn't finish the sentence. My feeling is that Heath was going to say, oh, when you guys first came, we thought that...
We
were going to be okay, and it was nice out there. There was no evil people, and...
How did he think that? Because when they came, they were like rabid animals. They looked rough.
In other words, Rick and his group introduced the Alexandrians to the evils of the world. You know what I'm saying? And up until that point, they were kind of isolated.
And they were naive to the whole reality of what's actually going on outside.
And I think Heath wants that. He wants to be naive.
Ignorance is bliss.
He wants the old way.
He literally had to kill a whole camp full of people.
And he's
of course he wants to go back.
And he's trying to tell Tara that, oh yeah, I did a lot more killing than you did. You didn't experience anything. I think.
You know what Tara had to go through? She was dealing with the governor, okay? Her sister was dating the governor.
Mm-hmm.
And she had to live with the fact that she was part of the bad guys, because now she's completely on, you know, the Rick's group side.
She also killed some people that were coming out of the outpost too, right? She was on the outside.
Yeah.
Picking off people.
Yeah, maybe she wasn't, you know, going into people's sleep and slitting their throats.
Right.
Which obviously is why Heath is so upset about it. But, you know, still, it's not like a pissing match. It's not about that. I think he's just upset because Tara's so low key about everything.
And she's also,
like, we did what we had to do.
And also don't forget these two were gone for 2 weeks, so only 2 weeks has passed since the outpost incident, which is very short amount of time. A lot of things happened.
Yeah, she doesn't even know about
the two main characters. She finds out at the end. But so her mentality is like, she just came off the outpost and she feels like, yeah, we did an awesome thing. We got rid of the Saviors. We have to get back and bring food and like everything's cool. Little does she know that everything's not cool.
Yeah, exactly.
So this is Tara's story in this episode, and she's starting from this happy place at the beginning, and at the end, she ends up in this horrible place.
Yeah, even towards the end, she still is happy. Like, before she finds out initially what happens, she still is happy.
Yeah, because she's like, well, at least I'm getting back home, you know?
With my girlfriend, yeah. Right.
You notice when she picks up the handgun, it has a scribble of Lucille.
Yep, it has the Lucille's, yep.
Mm-hmm. And so all the guns that Negan has that belong to Negan have that symbol on them.
Yeah.
I feel like, I think that's some kind of like a brand, the Negan brand. The
trademark. Yeah. Exactly. Yeah.
So
serial number.
If they get stolen or lost or whatever, they can say, oh yeah, that's one of our guns.
Mm-hmm.
So there's a throwback to Glenn where Tara says, there's nothing left in this world that isn't hidden. And this is a line that Glenn said. It's actually kind of a funny scene. This is the part where Tara and Maggie are outside of this gun shop, and then Glenn is inside, and he trips over something, and he comes out and is like, was there walkers in there? And he's like, no, I just tripped. So this is it.
Is it a walker?
Yeah. It's a walker.
Really?
It's a stack of boxes and a mop, and I tripped. Still, not what we came for.
You actually found something?
3 silencers stashed in a mini fridge. Rule number 1 is scavenging. There's nothing left in this world that isn't hidden.
Hmm. Aw, Dad. He's gone. He's gone. Nope. It's so much harder that he's gone than anyone else because, yeah, and Abraham too, because they were like the comedic relief. Maybe that's why people are still so upset about this show, because they got rid of all the comedic relief.
Now they're using Tara to substitute.
Yeah, because think about it. All serious shows, especially tragedies, are bearable to watch because there is comedic relief. That's why they're called comedic relief. When you get rid of the comedic relief, people are just depressed from start to finish, and there's no relief from that.
And what do you do in real life? You just go on YouTube or Facebook and watch cats?
Yeah, watch cat videos.
So somehow the writers managed to throw in like little gems from Glenn every now and then.
It's not enough, okay?
You could see some of the scavenging tips from Glenn have rubbed off on Tara, and it's sad, I guess, when she
reminding
goes
the
back.
World how big of an impact Glenn has on everyone's life in that show.
Well, every character that's gone has had some impact on everyone, right?
Yeah, but this one more than most because he's so good. There from the beginning.
So we go back to the... I don't know. First of all, I have like a critique of the way this episode was filmed.
Okay.
Sometimes they do this.
Oh, yeah. The flash forward and back, the flashbacks and yeah. Then meeting them in the middle.
I can understand the artistic thing of it, and it's okay every now and then, but...
I think they've been overdoing it recently.
This episode had no reason to have that. Like, there's no reason to have it. Like, it didn't help at all. Like, they could have just went linearly and just said, okay, the whole scene with Heath happens. She falls over. And then I guess what
they wanted to show that Heath could have been dead, but they don't know what happened to Heath. Because to me, it looks like he just dipped and ditched her.
I think what they wanted to show was Tara's questioning of, is Heath there? Like, because at the beginning, we thought that, oh, Heath took off. What a coward,
exactly.
Right?
Exactly. Yeah. Uh-huh. After everything he's talked about in his speech to Tara.
Right. But they still could have done that in a linear fashion. I don't know. It's just sometimes it throws people off. And I mean, you have to kind of, I don't want to think too much. Mm-hmm. I just want to just enjoy the episode. I have to do this flash forward and flashback. Because then I have to sync up the timelines and all that in my head. And again, we don't know if what happened to Tara. Apparently, they left her, and they left her there. And then Cindy went back to the camp, right? They didn't do anything with her. They just left her, and then they went back to the camp. And then I guess Cindy told Rachel, hey, don't tell, and that's it, right?
Yeah.
But I guess Cindy felt guilty, or she was pondering what to do, because she was sitting on her bed with the map.
Yeah. Looking at the clock, because it's like, how long has she been out there? Is she going to wake up or not? What should I do? Because I didn't kill her. So how am I going to get her to our camp help her without letting other people know? Because I can't give her to I can't bring her to the camp.
They're going
to
kill her.
So she figures, she figures the best thing to do is to help her and give her food and a weapon even and some water, which is so nice.
The kind of thing that backfired for her was that Tara decided to follow her to the camp.
Didn't know that she was actually asleep. She wasn't actually sleeping.
And if you notice that the clock she was looking at had Roman numerals for hands.
Mm-hmm.
So that kind of reminded her of Tara, because Tara on her hand had Roman numerals on her.
Didn't even know. I was like, why do they show her tattoo for?
I think Cindy noticed the tattoo on her hand with the Roman numerals. And then she was looking at the clock. It's like, oh, it has Roman numerals just like Tara has on her wrist. It kind of reminded her, made that connection. I don't know if
you should look into her. Let's see if she's okay.
And then the internet went crazy about these Roman numerals on Tara's wrist, but nobody knows what they are.
Yeah.
They're 4 numbers, 26, 13, 22, and 9. And one of the theories is just a theory, nobody knows for sure, is basically that Tara was trying to keep track of how many people she's been responsible for, like, dying.
Yeah, and you have here that she killed 23 or 26 people at the prison. That's a lot of people.
Not that she killed, but she was involved. She took part of it. Like, you know, when the governor came and had that
Yeah, they about attacking. The tank and everything.
Yeah, so maybe she feels that she was responsible for that. I don't know.
Maybe
13 people at Terminus, 22 at Alexandria, nine because of the at the outpost or before the outpost, mm-hmm. the bikers. I don't know.
That's a possibility. That's a possibility. I think maybe
because Carol kept track of how many she killed, right?
Yeah.
But it looked like a tattoo, which is weird. I don't know.
Interesting.
I have a feeling they're going to reveal it at some point later on.
Yeah, they have to, because why would they just have that scene by itself alone and not have an explanation for it? If it's true with the clock thing, but that's a pretty deep clue to have to be for like people not who are not as into The Walking Dead as we are to figure out on their own. Yeah, so Cindy goes back to Tara and gives her some water and fish that I guess Tara does not like that fish.
Would you eat fish like,
First of all, yes, I'm in the apocalypse. I can't afford to be picky.
Newspaper
God knows
fish.
How long. It was the last time she ate. Something fresh, too.
Well, it wasn't. I think it was salted fish in it, wrapped in a newspaper. I don't know.
Still, it's better than beans, all right? She follows her back to the camp, and then she starts freaking out because... she walked right into the camp.
I know. Just like they had one scene which was funny where she's like looking through the bushes and then they zoom out and everyone's like there, right there.
Uh-huh, exactly.
I was like, she's like stunned, like what do you think of this town? I mean, these people
they're so nice.
Not only that, but they're standing around these tables doing arts and crafts. What are they doing there?
Women, man. When you get all these women together.
What are they doing? Seriously, like they're just standing around.
They have all these kids.
I guess
maybe they're teaching a class or something.
I don't know. It's like everybody's just like working on something.
First of all, what I want to know is how did they know that she was there? Because you watched them find guns to go and kill her. So
yeah, exactly.
That's what I want to know. She was watching from behind the bush. She's like, okay, they're doing our wait. They're going to the armory. Wait, now they're getting guns. Wait, now they're shooting.
At me. Okay.
I had no idea how they figured that out. I mean, she's out in the open. It was like she was in the middle of right in the middle of the camp. She passed by some guards.
Someone must have saw her.
Yeah. Yeah. So they were chasing her through the whole village, thing.
They're horrible shots.
Oh, yeah, I know.
They can hit trees very well, though.
Obviously.
Like if you're standing next to a tree, they can hit the tree like that's right next to your face, but they can't hit your face. They'll hit like the tree that's next to you.
Yeah, it's almost like they're almost aiming for the tree or something, you know? Yeah, so she's running through this camp and someone tails her. This girl in short hair. And instead of killing her, she lets her go, which apparently is really important to the storyline because that's the only reason why her life was spared, at least at the beginning. Because then she gets cornered and the little girl is the one, Rachel.
Yeah.
Is the one that actually puts the gun to her head and stops her and has her surrender.
So I could tell Rachel hasn't shot anyone because she hesitates. Like she didn't shoot. She just pointed it at, and then Cindy jumped in front. That's why I figure that, you know, she hasn't killed anyone really.
Yeah. But Cindy jumps in, saves her for that moment. And Tara's so awkward. She's just like, so you're just going to stand here? Okay. All right. Just going to talk like this.
I understand the whole thing. I understand it's a TV show, right? And, you know, we have to kind of suspend a little bit our disbelief. But if they have this strict, unbroken rule, like no one should break this rule that you kill whoever you see, why didn't someone kill her?
Because of Cindy?
Why did they just stand there looking at her? So Cindy was the one who saved her.
Yeah, and maybe the girl who got knocked out was like, she saved me, you know? But I don't know how fast that would have traveled enough for them to stop, to pause before deciding to shoot her.
Because they paused and surrounded her.
But maybe they just wanted to question and ask, where are you from? What group are you from? How did you get here? Boom, boom. Ask questions, you know?
Did you expect that they were going to eventually kill her?
No, I had no idea. Really? I mean, I had an idea because of what Rachel had said. Is like, we have to. That's our job. That's when it started to click with me, you know, that they kill people too. But I knew they weren't going to kill her just for the fact that they held her prisoner. And they were deciding, and because of Cindy.
But later on, when they let her go, in fact, they weren't letting her go. They were just...
I totally thought they were letting her go. I had no idea it was connected to the fact that we had to kill her because she knows the saviors. Mm. I thought they were letting her go. And actually, I had to rewatch that part where they started shooting at her because I didn't understand why they were shooting at her. But it was because they were trying to kill her and they were taking that opportunity that she was going to kill a walker.
I think the biggest clue for me, well... this is later rewatching it, obviously, because when I first saw it, I didn't get the clue. But then I realized, because that's why Cindy wasn't there, right?
Yeah. So they could have lied to Cindy and said she got home safely.
Right. And also when Tara says, oh, where's Cindy? How come she's not saying goodbye to me? Like, Cindy's not saying goodbye? Come on. They were, like, best friends.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, why wouldn't Cindy be there to say goodbye? They probably had Cindy locked up or something.
Made her on some fool's errand, put her on some fool's errand and didn't even tell her she was leaving. Which is why Cindy came after her in the end, because she's like, they were trying to trick me, and now I'm here because we're going to kill you.
Yeah, yeah. So I think that was the biggest tell, is that Cindy wasn't around. And then
those women are slick, man. And very slick.
Natalia, Natanya is the leader's name.
Yeah.
She said to Cindy at the dinner table, no, you can't go. You have to stay here. You know, you're being punished, whatever. I think the whole thing was from the beginning.
Once they figured out she was part of the group that took out one of the savior outposts, their mind, if there was ever any doubt, was fixed on the fact that she has to go.
Tara spilled the beans on everything, pretty much.
She shouldn't have, because she was going through her own mental process about how she felt about killing those people, too.
Yeah.
Which gives away too much, because then they start thinking, oh, she actually doesn't know what she wants. She's a danger not only to other people, but herself.
Yeah.
Never give away too much.
I think she gave away too much, and she actually came across as a dangerous person, I think. Because someone who goes out and just kills a whole bunch of people like that.
I think she realized that when she started talking, because then she said, you know, we weren't always like this. We had no choice. We had to.
Yeah.
Almost trying to convince herself, you know, like, this was for a good reason. Because as you're, like with anything, if you're telling a story of something that happened or something that went wrong in your life, as you tell someone the story, you realize, oh, how much you've overreacted or how not serious it is. In her case, it was just like, oh, this actually sounds really bad. Let me phrase that differently.
Yeah, because you have ideas in your head, but once you start
vocalizing
voicing it and putting it into sentences and making,
especially to strangers
and trying
who
to
don't know anything about you,
like, how do you explain it, right? How do you
justify murdering an unprovoked group?
Yeah, and
that's part of the reason why things ended the way they did, and why she's now changing how she feels about this whole thing.
It's possible that, I mean, the timelines don't match, but I mean, you could even go to the extreme and say that Negan killed their men as kind of a retaliation to what Rick did, because maybe he was trying to find out who killed them and then found this group. And, you know, I don't know. It's kind of a stretch, but it just sounds like, because at the end when, I think it's Beatrice? Yeah, it's Beatrice. She says at the end, oh, you don't realize what you've started.
Mm.
By killing that group, you've started like...
a war almost.
You don't realize what you started, as if like that is the that was the trigger to cause all this stuff to happen, or Negan to go out and do all these things. So I'm just, you know,
throwing stuff out there. But but they're afraid that, oh, if we keep her alive, she's going to lead the saviors back to us.
And then,
especially because their group did something stupid like that.
And they have a point.
Yeah.
Cause, at the end, when Cindy confronts Tara, you know, swear, which is the name of the episode, you know, swear you don't tell anyone. And Tara says, well, why would I tell? And you never know. Something happens and she tells.
I mean, yeah, she could be in a position where the savior's like, we'll let you go if you have any important information about another group that we're trying to find, or something that could help us. You know, she could use as leverage. Of course, I don't think Tara would ever betray that kind of stuff. Somebody who doesn't know her might, you know.
Depending on, Tara kept saying like, oh, let's work together. We can do this. So maybe she still has ideas in her head about, you know, getting Alexandria and Oceanside together. So she might still, she might have still said something. So that's why, you know. Let's go back a bit to when they were interrogating her, when her hands were tied.
Yes.
Natanya was talking about how they got there.
This is where they also, yeah, and Tara told her stupid, really bad lie about
the boat.
Oh yeah, I look on a boat. And it was funny because, like, do you need to use the bathroom? And then Tara's like, oh, wow, no, thanks, though.
Isn't that, like, a giveaway that something bad's going to happen?
Or maybe that they're really nice people? I don't know. It's kind of made me feel like, oh, these people are good people. And they're just scared. But in the end, they still were scared and not very good people.
Yeah, you don't really ask someone if you're to use the bathroom.
They're a prisoner.
If you want evil upon them. I don't know. Unless it was their...
They didn't want evil upon her because they said, well, you helped, you know, our friend here. And, you know, and then they even offer for her to stay.
Yeah, it was an awfully nice group of people.
Until they realized she was part of the Saviors.
See, this is what the world is going to be like if it was dominated and controlled by women. It would be super nice.
Yeah, but then if you cross them, then they're relentless and they're backstabbers. Yeah. Yeah, but Natanya explains their camp a little bit, saying that the chimes and the air horns are to let them know that there's a walker, draw them to the area, and they can clear it.
I don't know. I mean, this group makes so much noise with their shooting and the bells and the horns, and, like, I don't know what... I don't know. I'm surprised they haven't been overrun by walkers, but whatever.
I know. I know. I don't know how that... It's so easy. People just walk in. How does this walker not just walk in and accidentally freaking...
Tara just walked in.
Yeah, exactly. So how does a walker not walk in and accidentally take someone out?
Yeah, there's no walls. There's no walls.
We could just keep going. They should just keep going.
There's no walls. I just realized that. There's no walls.
They should have gone farther. That's all I'm saying.
Well, they did have nets. They did have nets because Tara, to get in there, she had to crawl under this thing. So maybe the nets keep the walkers away? I don't know. It's weird.
Perhaps.
So what do they do when a walker comes? They start ringing the bells and I don't know.
Well, maybe the walkers ring the bells. Like there's like a trap or something.
Mm.
And so if you're close enough to a bell and you hear it go off, then you know, oh, turn around. There's a walker.
Yeah.
That's what I thought they were using it for. But yeah, so she talks about the story of I'm from Atlanta, I'm on the move always, and I'm with my friend, which is the only true piece of information. I was on a boat. I worked on a boat. She should have said I picked a boat and I didn't know what it was. Like she just said,
I used to work on a boat, but I hate fish. Yeah, okay.
Yeah. Honestly, the lie would have worked well if he just said, yeah, and I found a boat. Because why would she say, I worked on a boat in a fishing village?
Well, don't...
How dumb is that?
Yeah. Well, don't forget, Tara has a history of lying, right?
But she's not very good. She should just quit while she's still alive before she gets herself into trouble.
Quit lying. When we first met her, remember when there was that solo governor episode where governor became a hobo and started walking the streets?
Yeah.
And he grew a beard and then he ended up with Tara's family.
Mm-hmm.
And Tara's like, yeah, I used to be a cop, you know. No.
Oh, yeah.
She wasn't.
Exactly.
And then that's where she started her whole fist bump thing. But yeah, so Tara has a history of lying and she doesn't do it very well. One thing I'd like to kind of point out is that when a larder, which is a room that used to store meat, that's what they say, right, later in the episode, it's kind of a parallel to another episode, of last season called The Same Boat.
Mm.
There's an episode called The Same Boat and has the word boat in the title. And it takes place in a location which was used to slaughter and store meat. So there's kind of the crossover connection between these two episodes. And then it was also similar in that it was a female centric episode that was all women, remember? And Carol was the one who was in contact with a female leader. And then she was being trapped and tied up, and she was trying to convince her captors not to kill her by lying about her past, which is also what Tara's doing.
Mm-hmm.
The episode started with distrust, and it led to negotiation and the end violence. So anyway, there was these two episodes, this one and the Same Boat episode, which are parallels.
Yeah.
So The Walking Dead uses a lot of themes over and over again.
That's what you're telling us, basically. They're unoriginal, Dad.
Well, this whole dilemma with Tara, if she did the right thing and killing people and this and that, we've seen that theme before.
The episode was kind of a filler. The only good thing
that the F word.
I know. I dropped it someone had to say it. It was kind of a filler because, one, the only information, only useful information we got is that there's an extra group that
guns.
May potentially help save the saviors.
They have guns. Not save and the how, saviors, kill the saviors.
I mean, well, kill the saviors and save Rick's group. But yeah. We figure out, but you know, it was Tara's episode. Yeah, I know we wanted to get that to that group and figure out, oh, these people went through crap too. But it would have been nicer to have more Tara coming back to the to Alexandria and having a bigger reaction, you know.
Yeah, she just sat there with the bobblehead.
Yeah, I wanted to know. I wanted to see more of that. Maybe it would have been too much, but it just was too. It was too short, too clipped in the end for something that she's her girlfriend died. Why does not? It doesn't resonate with me more. It should have resonated more, but it didn't.
She didn't. She didn't show enough emotion. Maybe in this.
Maybe it wasn't that she showed enough emotion. Maybe it's just because the impact wasn't big enough. I don't know. Maybe.
Well, don't forget, Denise was a character that died. She had like an arc in one episode, really.
Yeah, she wasn't a very big character.
She didn't have a huge impact overall. And then it happened so long ago. I don't even
remember. Everyone's already over it.
So here's a clip of Natanya explaining what happened to all the men.
And if I be asking this, but where are all the men?
We got into a skirmish with another group. None of them made it. And we lost others, too. Cindy had an 11-year-old brother, my grandson. And their mother, too, my daughter. After that, we decided to protect ourselves no matter what. No matter who we crossed, we would kill on sight. We left our old home with just the clothes on our backs.
And then we found this place. We would stay hidden. And we would stay alive.
Stay alive.
Stay alive. Oh, we did it at the same time.
Okay. Notice the difference in the two stories? Natanya's story doesn't jive with Beatrice's story because Natanya says, "Yeah, we got into a skirmish with another group, and we lost all the men. Like basically, all the men died in the skirmish, like the fight, I guess. Right? As it sounded yeah. like it sounded like they were all the women sat back and all the men went and fought and they got killed and that's what happened. But Beatrice actually tells the truth, which is Negan came and lined up all the men and shot them."
Mm-hmm.
Which is interesting that they didn't really tell her the whole truth, right?
Why did they lie about that, though? Because they didn't want to bring up the saviors.
Yeah, basically. Because maybe Tara was one of the saviors. And by saying that, Tara, they're giving her information about who they are, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And from the Oceanside group's point of view, you could see what's going on, right? I mean, if Negan came and executed even the kids above a certain age. The kind of they spared the children, like, okay, thank you.
Right.
Then, and they killed all the men as if like, okay, this is how we weaken you. We kill all the strong people in your community, right?
Yeah.
This is what Negan does. He goes to the different communities and figures out how to weaken them. With the Alexandria, he took all their guns and did this and that. With the Oceanside people, he killed all the men. And he figures, well, the women can't fight back. The question is, how did the women find the guns?
Yeah.
I guess they escaped, took the guns with them, or they found them somewhere else. They didn't really...
Or maybe they just kept scavenging.
They didn't really tell us how the guns ended up with them.
Well, see, they're smart because they don't give up all their information like freaking Tara does.
Yeah.
But this isn't the last of the we're going to hear of this group.
Oh, yeah. We're going to see them again.
Yeah, I like that moment when... Because they invite her to stay, because it's the easiest possibility.
Because they didn't want to kill her. Otherwise, you know, if you leave, we have to kill you, pretty much.
Yeah.
So you have to stay.
But once they find out that Tara was fighting these group called the Saviors.
They just look at each other.
They're like, oh my God, how are we going to get her out of this? And then, you know, Cindy offers the idea, and Tara does too, of going back to the group and working out a deal. And like, okay, this is a perfect excuse to kill her, to get rid of her without Cindy having to find out.
Yeah.
And I didn't realize this until, you know, I watched it a second time. or like I saw the ending, and then, you know, Tara gives a fist bump to Natanya, and like, you know, she's awkward about it and all as like a sign of, as like a sign of trust, but it and doesn't.
It could be the fact that she's old and she doesn't know what a fist bump is, but it could be the fact that she just feels bad about the fact that she's about to kill Tara.
Yeah, like, how could you go through with that after this young and innocent soul? Like, Tara, yeah, she's a grown woman, but she has this innocent quality to her,
yeah.
Which is, I can relate to, because I feel like I would be that type of character, too. Like, even in all of this crap, I'm still, like, chipper and cracking jokes and, you know, being weird and having a pure spirit. You know, how could someone of her age recognize that and be okay with slaughtering her? Obviously, she's been through this a lot and is almost numb to it.
Yeah, and I think it was one, that was another clue that Tara saw that, oh, okay, they're going to kill me, is that she didn't get a vibe from Natanya that everything's going to be okay. And she didn't do the fist bump, so there was kind of an awkwardness there where Natanya didn't, she's like, I'm going to kill this person, I'm not going to do a fist bump, you know, I'm not that cold, you know, like.
Yeah.
That was one of the clues there.
Yeah. So that was rough. That was just rough to watch. And then, you know, rough because it was awkward. And then rough because at the end we find out they betrayed her.
And then Rachel spits at Tara.
Mm.
And then Tara gives her the finger, which Tara's given the finger before to Rick.
Oh, yeah.
Because it's kind of a sign like, hey, you know, we're all in this together. Like, screw you. What are you doing? And then Tara, as they're walking, another clue that they're going to kill her is that she walks past the bells. So that's far away, meaning that if anything happens over there, like if they kill her, if they shoot her, whatever, it's far enough away from the community that it's not going to cause any problems. So she, so crossing past the threshold of the bell means you're beyond the point where, okay, now they're going to kill me here.
Yeah, exactly. And they were walking behind her a little bit.
Oh, yeah.
Anytime someone walks behind someone, it's over.
Well, especially over. When they're holding a knife and looking over. At you, looking yes. at you sinisterly, like.
Exactly. Like, I'm sorry, you don't have to be freaking a psychic to feel those vibes that someone's going to kill you. Like, and I've never had to face somebody who wanted to kill me, but I'm pretty sure I can recognize when someone wants to kill me. Or, like, there's a secret agenda. Like, I was watching Black Mass the other night, and there was a scene. And it's like a gangster movie, you know, mobsters. They kill people. Yeah, mobsters. There's a scene where a guy was being led into this weird area. I was like half asleep during this movie. It was kind of boring. But like this scene particularly, I was like, oh, someone's going to die. This guy's going to get shot because the two men were walking behind him while the head mobster was talking to the victim. Like, oh, all is well. Yeah, I forgive you. Yeah, no problem. Yeah, I'm great. Great. I'm glad we're on the same page. And then the guy behind him takes him out. Like, and I was like, I called it because when two guys are walking behind you on either side, you know, and it's kind of sketch.
That's a sign.
I don't even like walking upstairs with people behind me because I feel like someone's going to drag me down.
So Tara uses an excuse of, hey, there's a walker there. I'm going to go get it. Mm-hmm. So she runs off basically to
they
not.
They also pick up the fact, oh, she's doing something. I need to make an action now. Now or never.
Yeah, so she kind of gets a head start and gets away. But Beatrice struggles with her, and she ends up pointing the gun at her and, again, doesn't kill her, but, you know, they have to have a whole discussion first because it's TV. And then, so Beatrice says, no, you didn't stop the saviors. You can't stop them. That was just an outpost. There are more saviors and more outposts.
What?
It's too late for your people. Yeah. So here's some more of that discussion.
There are more saviors, more outposts. If they know about your friends, it's already too late for them.
The saviors? They did this to you? They're the ones that killed all your men? Every man? Every boy over 10? They lined him up, shot him in the head. You see, we tried to fight. Just like you. They won. We were supposed to keep working for them. Then one night, we just left. We got away. We are not gonna let you lead them back to us. They get what they want.
Yeah, the saviors always get what they want.
And they're bigger than what they what she thought, and she realizes what kind of hornet's nest they just kicked. You know, the group just kicked.
Yeah, so Beatrice says that we were just in this same position, and we fought back, and they put us in our place by killing all the men, and then we started working for them, just like Alexandria is working for them, right?
Yeah, yeah.
And then they ran away, which Rick's group could, but they're not.
They're not, because they love Alexandria too much.
Also, the fact that Beatrice is crying and angry and they're frustrated shows that they're motivated to do something about it.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? They're not just
accepting it for what it is. They're willing to. They're still like
fighting them.
Resentment, yeah.
So, which means that they could be persuaded to fight against Negan if a huge war broke out and they needed them, right?
Yeah.
Because Rick.
But it's up to Tara. It's up to Tara to figure out.
Yeah,
what they want to do.
How to bridge that gap. Or maybe it's up to Cindy to run away for the circus and join Alexandria, the circus of Alexandria, and then talk to Rick and say, hey, Mr. Rick, can you come?
Mr. Rick? Mr. Grimes?
Hey, Mr. Grimes. We need to bond together and go against these saviors. And Rick's like, but we don't have the numbers. We don't have the numbers.
We don't have the numbers.
And then Cindy's like, well, we got the numbers and we got guns.
Yeah.
And then Jake's like, oh, yeah. And then I found this group that has this tiger.
The tiger. We could use that.
We could use that, man. Yeah. So something's going to happen, as we've been saying for the last so many episodes. It's like, let's... How many
groups can we introduce into this episode, into the season?
How much more obvious can the writers make it as to what's going about to happen? Unless they're leading us on down the wrong path. It's like, oh, everyone thinks
would that... Would it be the first time?
Everyone thinks that, hey, all these groups are going to band together and attack Negan. Well, we're going to pull a twist and we're not going to attack Negan. In fact, Negan is going to kill every single group except Alexandria. I don't know. I'm just saying they could do something weird. Okay, yeah. So Cindy comes out of nowhere and saves Tara.
Although she points a gun at her, she says, you know, you're not going to shoot me. You've saved me so many times already.
It's pretty obvious, like, yes.
Yeah, you're right.
It's pretty obvious.
And you can't kill anyone. I mean, I know you could, but you don't want to. And, you know, they join up together and says, look, they're going to come back. I'll take you to where your friend is because I believe you shouldn't have to die.
Yeah, so
they have this deep talk.
And then Cindy says, Tara says, why would I tell anyone? So they have this conversation about motivation of why people do things, right?
Yeah.
And then Cindy's like, well, why did we kill those two people that came close? Again, revealing some interesting fact that they've done this before. They've killed people.
Yeah.
And then she says to Tara, well, why the hell did you kill all those people at the station?
Because you all thought you had to, but none of you had to. You just did. Nobody's evil. They just decide to forget who they are.
Mm. And then Tara says, well, you know what? Some people are actually evil, Cindy. That's why I have to get back. And I think she's referring to the governor.
That's exactly what I was thinking too.
Because she lived through the governor evilness, and she was part of the group that said, hey, let's attack.
And she was brainwashed, and she realized we didn't have to do this, and that bad people make bad decisions for everyone.
So I think in this episode, Tara's realizing that, you know what, maybe it wasn't a good idea that we'd attack that outpost.
Yeah.
And you know what? Maybe I shouldn't tell Alexandria about these Oceanside people because I like Cindy and I respect her. And she's basically torn between Cindy, her promise to Cindy, and her devotion to her own people. But then I think at the end, she realizes that the humanity of respecting the word she gave to Cindy is more important.
Yeah.
Because she could interrupt the whole community and cause their death because she said something, you know. Because don't forget, the governor still visits Alexandria. I mean, not the governor. The governor's dead.
What?
The governor's gone. Negan still visits Alexandria. So he could find out about Oceanside through some other accidental leakage of information. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. But I don't think so, because he only really heavy deals with Rick, and Rick's really good at keeping secrets, like he did about Maggie.
Mm-hmm.
I liked the interaction between Cindy and Tara when they got to the bridge and they saw all the walkers, and Tara's like, you know, why are you different? And Cindy's like, why are you? They're the same, you know.
They're not different. They're the same.
Yeah.
They're basically two unique characters that have this humanity in them, and that's
very different from their homes, because Alexandra, you can't say, has much humanity left after what has happened.
Well, it does, but you know,
not at this point. They got a lot of redemption to do.
Yeah.
So yeah, they start the mission.
Plus, they know how.
Because Cindy's
know,
like, I'm gonna help.
Yeah. Cindy knows how fist bumps work.
Yeah, exactly. And you know, they're off, and Cindy helps.
Cindy's a good sight, a good shot.
Yeah.
Again, a clue that she will be a recurring character, and she's going to help.
Yeah, she can do what Michonne can't.
Oh. Burn.
Yikes. What? Who said that? Me.
Yeah. Rick will be like, oh, Michonne, maybe we should use Cindy because, you know, you can't shoot very well.
That was a good impression.
And Carl can't shoot because he has one eye.
He has one eye. They're down on people who can fight, man.
They don't have good shooters.
Yeah.
So yeah, we need Cindy. Yeah, we need Cindy. Swap out someone for Cindy.
Mm-hmm.
So she's pretty good. She ran out of bullets, though. But it was good. She got through. What did you think of the whole Walkers Under the Sand thing?
I thought that was pretty cool. I like The Walking Dead for that cool kind of creative walkers appearing out of nowhere. It was really gross.
So what do you think happened on that bridge?
I think people were camping out, and there were cement trucks that had like been there forever, and they saw that there was a group of walkers coming. So they're like, quick thinking, dump the sand on all the walkers, and they got trapped. The group obviously didn't make it past that moment, but I think they were like camping out on the bridge because, you know, they saw there was like floaties full of plants.
I think that bridge is actually the only connection between Oceanside and the rest of the mainland or something.
Mm. Mm.
I think that's the only way through.
Interesting.
And I think the fact that the trucks with the sand are dumped there could be the reason why Oceanside's still protected, because no one can get through the bridge, because like trucks can't get through the bridge, like cars.
That's true.
Vehicles only on foot, right?
That's true. That's why they're so isolated. That's why they would stay there, even though it's in the open. They figure the only thing we have to fight off are walkers and the occasional human who washes up on the beach.
Mm. Yeah. So I feel that maybe that is the answer to how they've been protected, because the only way through is through the bridge, and the bridge is blocked. So
exactly. Convenient. Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, we have this, and this is where once they get to the bridge, and you know, Cindy makes it through.
We see the flashback.
We get a little bit of the flashback. We figure out what has happened, where Heath looks like he's been overrun,
mm-hmm.
and he's gone.
And I like the line where Tara says, "Heath, we're in this together," and Heath says, "I know." I like that, because it kind of reinforces the fact that, you know, yeah, Heath said a bunch of stuff, but he's still there. You know, he's still with her. He's still supporting her. He's still there. He still feel like they're part of a group. So
yeah.
What did you think of the whole, oh no, Heath is a walker. Oh no, he's not a walker.
I totally believed it. I'm so gullible. I believed it, man. I was like, oh my God, really? But you know,
they always do this. They did this also in Fear the Walking Dead. I remember there was a scene where they did this.
Oh,
they did it on purpose. They put someone from their behind, looks like that person, and then they turn around, oh, it's not that
women
person.
Women can have dreads too.
Right. So I'm just saying that there's no point in doing this. Surprise, it's not who you thought it was. We did it on purpose to trick you.
It's so overdone. It's so overdone.
Because they've done it a bunch of times, and also every single walker is ashy and has this beige color from all the sand, and that's the only walker that's not that color. So it's pretty obvious that, like, what did you expect us to think? That it wasn't Heath? Of course we'd think it was Heath.
Yeah.
Right?
Exactly.
I don't know.
I just think that's all, like, overdone. It's a cheap kind of thing. It's I believed it, but then I was like, oh,
what was the point? What was the point?
Yeah.
It had added nothing to the plot. It was just like a gag thing. But okay, whatever.
But okay, whatever. I still love the show.
We still love the show, and we're still falling for everything they throw at us. So yeah, she's okay. Here's another question mark. I don't know if you have the answer to this. What is this card she found with PPP on it?
What the hell is that? And how does that have anything to do with her, with him being alive and escaping? Maybe it was a whole different group that took him. Maybe. God forbid.
Okay, if it's another group called the PPPs, I mean, come on.
I'm done. Upon it quits. I'm done, man. Put in my mic away.
if it's the Saviors, fine. But like a whole new group that we didn't know about, like, oh, geez.
We've already got the Knights of Templars or whatever, and we've got the Knights of Templars.
The Knights who say knee.
I'm just so over this whole, like, what is it? Who is it? Does it give it to me? I'm so sick of being yanked around,
that
man.
That card is an access card. It's like a magnetic card where you put into an electronic door.
Oh, my God.
Well, that's what it is. It's a card that you put against
Is there, like, this technological advanced place? We've got the Knights in the medieval times. Now we have to have the futuristic group.
Yeah, like what place has a lock that unlocks with a key like that? Mm-hmm. And has electricity, and I mean, all I can think of is it's the Saviors, and there's some special access room. I was going to say it was an access card to the Saviors' bathroom, because PPP could stand for pee-pee pants.
Okay. Okay.
I don't know. Sorry, that joke fell flat. But I was trying to make a joke.
I failed
big time.
Yeah, dad jokes.
So, I don't know. It's...
Yeah, dad, you are the person, you are like the living embodiment of the dad meme.
Really?
I'm
that lame.
No, you're like the original meme. You know, you wear these t-shirts, cargo pants, and flip-flops. You make really bad dad jokes.
I've changed my attire.
Okay, attire. Yeah, that's what it's called.
I've changed it. When you come home for Christmas, you'll see a whole new dad.
Not right now. All I'm seeing is another weird t-shirt. What is that?
Never mind.
What does it say on there? Exactly. Case in point.
It's from the podcasters conference.
Oh my God. Okay, that's all right. That's all right. We're podcasters. I can't hate on them.
Yeah, I've gotten rid of my cargo pants. Okay, they're gone.
Really? What? Yeah.
I only have one as an emergency.
I was like, you're having a bad day. I need my cargo pants.
I have an emergency cargo pants.
Bring out the cargo pants.
Yes. I have one just for emergencies.
What do you wear? Is it the plaid one, or is it the...
I've got hip shorts now. I went and got and bought some
hip. In fact, you're still wearing shorts, Dad, okay?
Well, it's actually gotten cold now, yeah. So I've... Wait.
What are you wearing then? Jeans?
Right now, I'm wearing jeans. Yeah, but
or cargo pants.
Will you relax?
I'm sorry.
You'll see it when you get here. I look better now.
I have to be there to see it because Mom and Alexander are not fashion, you know, fashion people. Okay, Mom especially. Her wardrobe hasn't been updated since she gave birth to us.
Well, that's how adults are. After they have kids, and they don't buy any more clothes. That's it. It's over.
It's so, like their fashion is. I have kids to worry about and to take care of.
Yes, we don't buy clothes anymore.
But now that you have so much free time, because you know,
Mom still has clothes from the 80s. Okay,
which is awesome, and I want to take all of them. Okay, they're coming back, but not for her.
The fact that she can still fit in them is amazing. But yeah,
true.
Yeah, we're not fashion-oriented here in this household.
But I am.
That's why we need your help, Jasmine. You need to come in.
I got to bring my L.A. styles back.
Yes, you need to
this is what the civilized people have been wearing.
Do a makeover on us. Please, yeah. Please.
For a family Christmas picture designed by Jasmine.
Yeah, so the PPP group, we could be the Saviors. PPP. So Tara is in, she escapes, and she's in this melancholy kind of, it's Tara's walking home music is playing.
I love that little thing where she's like going on an adventure, you know?
She's walking through the, apparently everything is a short walk and skip and hop away from Alexandria.
They're probably just so used to walking around.
In no time, she's back at Alexandria. But she stops by at a souvenir shop, and eats her fish, her wrapped fish,
mm-hmm.
her newspaper fish. And then she sees a bobblehead of a doctor, which is kind of in parallel to what Denise did, right? Denise went off.
You know, I almost didn't get that because Denise has been dead for so long.
Yeah, because she's a doctor, right?
Yeah.
Well, Denise bought... I mean, not bought. She found a can of Crush, Orange Crush.
Yeah.
When she went out on her hike.
And freaking Negan drank it.
Negan drank it. And now Tara found the bobblehead and she can't give it to Denise because Denise is dead.
That love was doomed from the start.
So basically, both of those gifts never went to the recipients.
All of Tara's girlfriends die, but she's still so happy.
It must be all the fist bumps. They give her energy.
Yeah, give her a fist bump of life.
Yes, it gives her a boost.
Mm-hmm. We're just trying to make jokes to make this episode more entertaining. That's really what we're doing here.
Also notice that at the end...
Rosita? The girl just found out her girlfriend's dead. Let her mourn before you start hounding her for questions.
Yeah.
Not everyone is like on this, you know, vendetta mission to kill everyone, right?
Rosita's like, where'd you get those Snapchat goggles? I want to get me a pair of those. That's all the rage now. How'd you find them? Where are they? I want to get some Snapchat goggles. Tara's staring down at her arm, and on her wrist are the seashells.
That Cindy had given her.
Seashell bracelet that Cindy gave her. And also in her hand is the bobblehead. So all the two different decisions she has to make. Should she get revenge for Denise, or should she go protect Oceanside or whatever?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So she's staring at those both. And Rosita would be like, hey, where'd you get that?
I found it.
Bracelet.
Like, I found these goggles.
Shells, made out of shells. Interesting.
It's like, you know, you've been out for a while. And your mom is like, where have you been? I don't know.
Nowhere.
Nowhere.
I just...
No one.
Had a whole...
Doing nothing.
Complete adventure, but I'm not going to tell you guys. It is a lot of pressure. I mean, because Rosita's saying, like, guns, ammo, we can square this, make this right. So she's trying to tap into Tara's grief about Denise and say, hey, don't you want revenge? Right? Because they killed Denise, so you must want revenge, right?
Yeah.
Work with me here. You know, that's what she's saying to her. So there's a lot of people in Alexandria that are angry, apparently, right?
Yeah.
I'm wondering how that's going to play out.
I'm not saying anything. If these next two episodes are not up to my standards, I may never speak again.
You'll take a vow of silence.
Take a vow of silence. Put a pin on my jacket saying I'm taking a vow of silence for The Walking Dead. Goodbye.
So one little piece of trivia that we want to mention that I don't know if that many people know about this, but the Hilltop Doctor's name is Harlan Carson, and the Savior's Doctor, his name is Emmett Carson.
What? They're related?
And apparently they're related. They're brothers.
Ah, the plot thickens.
They're brothers on kind of the opposite side of the war, quote-unquote war, that's about to happen.
Do you think they know that each... Do they think they know where they are, like where each other is?
I don't know. Well, I feel like that's there for a reason. Like, I don't think it's random.
Yeah.
I think somehow it's going to play out where those two kind of communicate somehow and maybe send secret messages back and forth. Who knows? But, and also notice the contrast, right?
Mm-hmm.
The contrast between the one doctor and the other. The one doctor at Hilltop saying, hey, your baby's fine. And things are going great. And then the other doctor, the Savior's Doctor, is saying to that woman, oh, your baby, you didn't conceive. You can't conceive.
Jeez.
It's the opposite, right? And I think that's kind of...
Like you have a sterile place where things go to die.
Yeah, the Savior's compound is framed as a sterile place where nothing grows and everything dies there, right?
Mm-hmm.
And the Hilltop is a fertile place where things grow and people get pregnant and babies grow and there's farming and flowers and blue flowers and pink flowers.
White flowers and green flowers.
And notice that in the Savior's compound, nothing grows there. It's all just walkers around there. And So interesting to see how these two doctors' relationship will play into the plot.
Are they in the comic book?
It doesn't look like... these two characters are part of the comic book series. It looks like they're only part of the TV series.
Ah, okay.
So it could be new characters that were just for the series, just like, you know,
Daryl.
Yeah, Daryl, who's a new monkey wrench into the whole plot line.
Yeah. Yeah, I like that connection. I hope we get more from them. I wonder like how they got where they are and why they're on two opposing sides. We have a voicemail?
Yeah, we do. We have we also have some Facebook comments to read and respond to, and we have a voicemail. So let's play the voicemail first. It's from Yvonne, and she's a first-time caller from Atlanta, Georgia.
Hi, guys. This is Yvonne in Atlanta, Georgia. I really did enjoy your podcast during Fear the Walking Dead. I actually enjoyed the show, too, surprisingly. But about the Go-Getters episode from The Walking Dead, and it was the only thing about that that I noticed was that when they were at the hilltop, somewhere in the background, you can see, like when Jesus and Sasha are fighting the walkers, you can see people hanging from the wall. I think those are probably the guards that the Saviors came in and killed and hung there before they started wreaking havoc. But the other thing is, Carl, I know at the beginning of that episode, he was throwing darts with his left hand, but up until that point, we've always seen him shoot in everything, his dominant hand being his right. I seem to have that right. Yeah, but so anyway, I think maybe he was practicing, just like Michonne going out and practicing with a gun, maybe Carl was practicing to use his other hand, his non-dominant hand. And then the other thing, this is so random, but I know the wolves were like at the beginning of season 6, but the way they're running out scavenging, could it be possible that maybe Negan was kind of ruling over them too? That's why they were going to different communities and scavenging as much as they could and stealing stuff from people. Of course, that doesn't really explain why they had to, you know, cut up everybody and kill everyone they came across. But I don't know. That was such a random thought. We might be completely done with the wolves anyway. But it was, like I said, random thought. Anyway, again, I really enjoy the podcast. Thanks so much. And I will be listening and staying alive.
Thank you, Yvonne, for your voicemail. It's really good to hear from our listeners and their theories because, you know, I didn't even think about the wolves, the wolf there. Maybe, I know it's like kind of far-fetched, but maybe the Saviors interacted with them at one point.
And maybe forced them to go on their killing spree.
Yeah. Maybe they realized they were too crazy. They're like, I don't know if we can work with this.
We can't work with these people. They're crazier than we are.
Yeah, exactly. But yeah, he was throwing with his left hand. Maybe that means that either it was a blooper, like, oh, he was throwing it with his left to make it look bad, or that he really is trying to learn with his left. Because you know when you're aiming a gun, you close the eye that is the opposite of the gun your hand you're shooting. So you can like kind of zero in. So if he shoot with his left hand and it was his right eye that was out.
So I get maybe he was throwing the darts with his left hand because he was trying to, he figured, well, you know, my right eye is gone, right?
Mm-hmm.
So I'm using my left eye, so I shouldn't use my left hand, you know, because he figures, you know, so he was trying to compensate and, but maybe not. Maybe that's the wrong thing to do. Maybe you should just keep using your right hand. I don't know.
Yeah. But yeah, good point. I did not notice the guards were hanging in Hilltop when they sent in those zombie trucks. The zombie truck.
Well, I didn't notice that either. But I have the video here, so I'm going to scrub through it and see. I did notice that when I was watching the episode, but I just thought it was walkers. I thought it was walkers. I didn't think that it would be actual people from Hilltop. Okay, I'm looking at the video and a playback of that scene. And yes, there are some people hanging next to the doorway.
The guards.
They're moving like walkers, but maybe it was the guards, and after they died, they turned into walkers.
Wow.
So yeah, it could be the guards. Yeah. It was interesting that that never was brought up in that episode. Like they never talked about it. People actually died, so it wasn't just like a bunch of walkers that came in. Some of the guards died. Because we were talking about that, right? We're like, where are the guards? How come just walkers come in and nobody can do anything about it, right?
Yeah, exactly.
So thanks, Yvonne, for pointing that out. See, I mean, our listeners are the best listeners.
Yeah, because they point out stuff that we don't even see, and they're kind of fans that notice this stuff too.
Our The Walking Dead Girl podcast listeners are the best podcast listeners in the world. Period.
Period. By far, best listeners.
Yes. See, this is what you do: is you suck up to your audience, right? You just yeah. tell them the best. So. Yeah, no, we truly appreciate them, and we love our listeners. Speaking of awesome listeners, Vic Miller, who has been silent for a while, sent us an email.
Ooh, let's read it. All right. And we have the return of the fist bump. I was so impressed with this episode, though I know people will be, all this episode is so boring. It was interesting to see how yet another community has been affected by the saviors. Some questions I would like your opinions on. Why the hell didn't Tara take that bag from the sand pile after all the trouble it caused?
Hmm.
She made it back on foot before Heath, even though he had about a 4 to 5 day head start. Happy to see Tara didn't spill the beans on Oceanside to Suicide Sally, aka Rosita. Suicide Sally. Do you think she will keep her word? Will Oceanside join forces to fight Negan? Well, we kind of feel like Oceanside will join forces eventually through Cindy to fight Negan.
Yeah, I think that's how it's... I don't think Tara's going to reveal it. I think Cindy's going to show up. That's my conclusion.
And he also brings up, Tara took the death of Dr. Denise better than I thought. Yeah, which we also talked about. Like, how come she's not freaking out? I started out hating the fist bump, but I'm slowly turning a corner to actually liking her. But I feel like she's going to head... for Hilltop very soon.
Hilltop. I wonder why she would go to Hilltop.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe because of Maggie?
Maybe.
Yeah.
Because were they relatively close? Yeah, they were close because, you know, her group killed Herschel.
Herschel? Oh,
Governor
right.
killed Herschel,
oh,
yeah.
Yeah, right. Oh, interesting connection there.
Mm-hmm.
Well, thanks, Vic, for... the email, and he also mentions, like you said, why didn't Tara take the bag from the sand pile after all the trouble?
Well, I guess at this point it didn't matter. She was like, she fell off the bridge. She couldn't.
Well, after the end, when she came back, she could have looked for the backpack, but I bet you there was probably nothing.
Too many walkers, yeah.
There's probably nothing in there. However, she did scavenge like little things that were meaningless, but who cares?
Don't send her out on a scavenge again.
Also, when he talks about why didn't Heath make it back, because Tara got there first, I think Heath never reached Alexandria.
Yeah, I don't think so either.
I don't think Heath ever reached Alexandria.
Based on the Pee-Pee Pants card.
Yeah, the Pee-Pee Pants card says otherwise. So, Rusty Plune, who I think we sent him a Walking Dead Girl t-shirt in the past, but he commented that very disappointed in this episode. Ooh, negative response. And to be honest, this whole season so far, wow, he's really critical. I have nothing against Tara, but does she really merit an entire episode devoted to her? In my opinion, she doesn't. The Walking Dead is spread way too thin this year. Going weeks without seeing certain characters is unnecessary and annoying. Why can't The Walking Dead intermingle storylines like other shows? What's wrong with them? The last two episodes could have easily been one episode. Going back and forth between Hilltop and Oceanside. Hoping things pick up, but not hopeful they will until the spring. Yeah, I think they're going to drag this. This whole half is going to be just introduction to everybody.
Yeah.
And setting up things. And then the next season is going to be like actually things happening, playing out.
Yeah, man.
How about, do you want to read Cindy's comment?
Cindy Patton says, I liked it. And not just because two characters have the same names as my daughter and I, Cindy and Rachel, but then at the end, Rosita asked Tara if she saw any place with guns. I was like, ooh, I see what's happening now. And I loved it. If Oceanside, the Hilltop, the Kingdom, and Alexandria can all join forces, wow, that will be an all-out war. And when Tara gave Rachel the bird, I love that too. Several funny moments. Yeah, Tara has that kind of charm.
Yeah, so Cindy's making the same connections pretty much everyone is, that, hey, we can use the guns from Oceanside. We can make, groups together and attack Negan. So, mm-hmm. yeah. La Morley says, I really enjoyed this episode. It was great to see her personality coming out more and how smart she really is. I do think, however, they need to incorporate the stories better. They need to show us more characters in each episode. Just kind of leaves them hanging out there and we don't know what's happening. Everybody wants to see more Rick, maybe. I don't know.
I do. I think people don't like this because usually the show only has the like one person episodes every once in a while. They don't have every episode being something completely different.
Yep.
People don't like change, basically, is what we can take from this.
Biff Weaselton, which I don't think is his real name, but he says, I've always liked Tara. To me, she's the most real member of the Survivor family. She's not a villain or a psycho or a superhero. She's just a normal person with a bit of her sense of humor still intact. I think the writer for this episode really got her as well. So to me, it was a good episode. Tense at times, but not relentlessly depressing. So he's on board the Tara train. Terror, yep. Train.
What?
The Tara train. One last comment from Clint Eastwood. I don't know if it's Clint Eastwood, the actor, but...
it's Eastwood.
Eastwood.
No
easy. Close. Easywood. Eastwood. He says, boring. Only two episodes left. This is going to end just like last season. They have a formula. I figured it out. They have a formula. The group is going to end up in some situation that's impossible to get out, and we will have to wait 3 months to find out what happened. Then the first episode will be epic, followed by a lot of filler. Shaking my head.
SMH.
He's decoded the Walking Dead formula. Yep. I knew it.
I found the secret formula.
I knew it was all a scam. It's fine. Everything will be fine. Don't worry.
Dad,
it'll be great.
You're putting on your dad voice. Everything will be fine.
It'll be great. The next episode, we're seeing more of Rick.
Good.
So Rick is, because remember he left and Michonne said, I'm not coming with you. You go by yourself. So Rick goes off with Aaron and he finds another community or something. Well, I don't know if he finds another community, but in the preview, they show Rick and Aaron going over some fence. On the fence, there's a sign that says, there's nothing to see here except your death or something like that.
Well, next, move
so
on.
Stay
Leave.
Out. And of course, they cross over it.
Of course.
So Rick is on board with the whole, we got to scavenge for Negan. So he's on board that train. And who knows, maybe they'll find another group. And maybe that's the same group that took Heath. No, I don't know. Who knows?
But we're just pulling at straws because the show is giving us nothing.
Every episode is like, let's go on. Let's see what group will show up next.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But I think
we're meeting something.
And plus, we have to find out what happened with Carl and Jesus. Did he show up at Negan's place with no booze in the back?
I don't know how far they thought that out.
So even though some people have mixed opinions about the show and the season overall, I liked the episode. It was fun. I mean, it was Tara. Like
it was
you said,
funny.
Like you said, Tara really brought some upbeat moments to it.
Mm-hmm. It was all right. It was a bit of a filler, but with some good acting in it, it was still watchable.
And for all of those people that are getting all worked up about The Walking Dead and upset that it's going nowhere.
Honey, you need to take some yoga breaths and calm your ass down.
Okay, so there.
Well, we've come to the end of the show. Thank you all for listening to this episode. If you like what you hear, please tell all your friends and everyone you know. We love to get new subscribers. You can send email feedback to talkback@thewalkingdeadgirl.com. And as always, this is Jasmine.
And I'm Michael.
Stay alive. First of all, like Black Mirror, I just finished it. Oh my gosh. You should watch it, Dad. It's on Netflix. You would really, really like it. It's like futuristic, but not too far in the future so you can believe that it'll actually happen. And each episode, it's like The Twilight Zone. Did I tell you about it?
No, I've heard, I don't even know if I've heard about it.
Oh, it's so good. It's so good. It's a Netflix original, I think. Yeah, like Westworld. I have to keep up with that. I haven't watched any of the recent episodes. Yeah, Black Mirror is really good. Oh man, there's just so many good shows coming out.
So I read the book, The Girl with All the Gifts.
Okay.
And, well, quote unquote read, because I actually listened to the audiobook. Mom says, you know, you're not actually reading because you're just listening. So technically it's not reading. So it doesn't count. Of course it counts. I listened to the whole thing. It's unabridged. It's the actual text. But it's basically, the theme is, you know, the apocalypse and zombies.
Really?
And that's all I'm going to really say without spoiling it. But it was made into a movie, which I haven't seen yet. I think
that come out?
The movie's been released a few months ago, and I didn't see any promotions for it or anything. So
then again, I don't see any more promotions of anything because I'm so out of like society.
Yeah. The book was very good, and the one thing I liked about the book is the writer did a very good job of using very good descriptive language to compare things when describing, like the writing was very well written, very descriptive, and the characters were developed very well. And it takes place in England. It takes place in England, and
okay.
You know, the zombie plague as always has taken over the world.
As always, like it does.
And the explanation that they have is that it came from, there is actually some kind of neurological virus that attacks insects and makes the insects do things, but like ants and things.
Mm-hmm.
So they're saying that this somehow spread to the humans. And there is, I don't want to say too much, but it's a very good book. And
I'll take a look, yeah.
I have it actually in my Audible. I could maybe share it with you and you can listen to it. It's a very good story, and it was made into a movie, so I think I'm going to go watch the movie next, so we'll see.
Nice.
But it's a good recommendation. I recommend if you're into the, it's, yeah, there's some zombie, it's all the apocalypse and zombies and that, but it has good character buildup, and it's a very, very good story, so.
I need to read a good book, and you know, it's maybe audibles are going to be better for me anyway.
Well, the problem with audiobooks is that, well, for me anyway, is there's certain criteria. You can't listen to it while you're lying down in bed.
Yes, that's for damn sure.
Because you're going to fall asleep 100% of the time, and you're going to end up forgetting. It's going to keep going on, and you're going to forget where you were, and then you have to rewind to go to the spot where you missed, and it's a
hassle. Yeah, and then it's just a hassle because you forget.
And then you end up re-listening.
But you kind of remember because you were asleep, and you kind of, some things remind you of something that you had a dream about.
So you feel like you're getting through the book, but you're not actually listening to it.
Yeah, you're not actually going through it. You're just subconsciously.
Yeah, so it's not good. And also, I can't listen to it while I'm doing complicated things like working or something.
It takes like your focus away. Yeah.
You basically have to do, you have to be working on something that doesn't require you to do
minimal like, enough. Yeah. Yeah.
Like if you're doing something physical, like physical labor or something, like fixing something or cooking or maybe cleaning. Driving. Or maybe cleaning or something. You're cleaning around the house or cooking or something. Or if you're driving. Yeah. Or if you're on a plane or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the only time it'll work for me. Other than that, I can't. Kind of like similar to when you're listening to a podcast, I guess.
Oh,
probably the same thing. But if for those who are into Audible books or audiobooks, then The Girl with All the Gifts is the book. That's what it's called, and it's obviously about a girl, a little girl, in this apocalyptic world. So that's all I'm going to say. I'm not going to spoil it.